House Artisan Fair during the Washunga Days Festival in Council Grove, Kansas. Saturday, June 22nd from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Enjoy the beautiful Flint Hills while you shop from over 30 unique artisan vendors. When you're ready to take a break from shopping, relax with live music from Laura McDonald and Graceful Grit. Learn more at FlintHillsArtisanFair.com. That's FlintHillsArtisanFair.com. And be sure to follow Flint Hills Artisan Fair on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, Washunga Days happening this weekend. All kinds of fun, including that big artisan fair in Council Grove this weekend. Be a part of it.
It's all about your health, your good health. Food, drink, exercise, recipes, all sprinkled with common sense. Welcome to the KVOE studios. Emporia State Health and Human Performance Professor, Dr. Jennifer Thomas.
Dr. Jen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. I'm trying to not let that trifecta make me very cranky.
Well, it's already kind of gotten us cranky, so
yeah.
Join the club.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I'm not a big heat, humidity, and wind fan either.
No.
And boy, yeah, what a concoction that is, but something we're going to be, I guess, looking at all through the entire week, really.
And it hits so early. Like, sometimes we make it till closer to July
before
the 90s hit, and it's like, ugh.
Summer officially arrives on Thursday, so summer's really not here yet. We're still in spring, technically.
That is so weird. It's like, whatever. Summer started when school got out.
Yeah, really it does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, when I was coming in this morning, I did hear my first back-to-school ad already.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That person needs to be slapped.
That.
Back to school. Back to school time.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, no.
Well, it'll be here before we know it, I guess.
That is true, but come on, at least let us get through the 4th of July before they start.
There you go, at least that.
If you're a youngster going to school, you hear that, you're really dejected and upset. You know, to have to deal with that. Well, we're gonna talk sweetness here, Dr. Jen, today,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I thought this would be a good topic. It's not like people, when you say, oh, you need to reduce your sugar, it's not like people go, oh, I love you. Thank you. Yeah. Because so many people, we do struggle with it because sugar is, and there's so many types of sugar and it's in everything. But the main reason that I thought this would be a good topic, and we've touched on this before over the years, but is summer and this type of weather in particular that we were just talking about is when fruit tends to sound the best to us.
Yeah.
We our bodies actually crave it because we crave hydration and the vitamins and the minerals that fruits have. And so summer is an easy time to boost your fruit intake for most people. It's just more appealing. And when you can boost your fruit intake, you can get those sugars naturally and then maybe ease your way, wean yourself off of the fake sugars and just the processed. The main problem with sugar is the processed foods that it's in.
And some of those processed foods are?
Let's start with cookies. So many of your, I always say, just walk down the inside aisles of your local grocery store.
Oof.
And because, you know, we can joke about cookies and cake and bread and, a lot of your carb foods. But it even hides in things like ketchup. Which, some people, ketchup's a vegetable. I'm like, okay. It's actually maybe tomatoes, which are technically a fruit. But it's got ketchup and barbecue sauce and things like that. They literally have, it's typically high fructose corn syrup, a fake sugar in it to make it sweet and to cut the acidity. So it hides in so many things. And you literally, if you go through your kitchen, beverages, like I said, packages of things, and you're going to see sugars, and specifically, and the good thing is the FDA changed the rules of labeling a few years ago, and they said, it's no longer just that you put carbs and then like how much is sugar, how much is fiber. They have to now also say how much is added sugars.
Ooh,
because again, it's one thing if sugar occurs in, you know, carrots have sugar in them, apples have, but it's naturally occurring sugar. And that is very, very different than the added sugars.
And one thing I was going to ask, too, because it's not really listed as sugar, is it not? It's more listed like stuff like high fructose corn syrup or something along those lines, correct?
Yes, the different names, beet sugar, cane, malt, you'll see a lot of those. And that's why it's so confusing because, how's sugar? Yeah. It's not called, it hides in things under different names.
Did you say bread?
Well,
did you mention bread?
Yeah, a lot of bread has some sort of
sugar into
what
it.
Kind. Yeah, blood sweetener. I tell you what, all over social media, I'm seeing, and this kind of kicked up clear back in 2020, but more and more people making sourdough.
Okay,
that's a good way to go. That's a much healthier alternative than to a lot of our packaged breads. So.
And, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, some healthy alternatives for sweeteners. And they're certainly out there, aren't they?
They are out there. And
you mentioned fruit, number one. So
yes. Yeah. And use fruit if you're craving something sweet. I know we've talked on here before about like grilled pineapple, you know. So if you're doing chicken or pork or whatever on the grill, throw some pineapple in foil, put it on there, put some cinnamon on there. It's really good. Pineapple is good just by itself, in my opinion. But there's so many. Obviously, watermelon sounds really good during the summer to a lot of people. So just
cantaloupe.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
And those have a high water content. And so they help hydrate you and kind of fix that sweet tooth. So, yeah, fruit would be my number one recommendation. But my second general recommendation goes back to what Chuck was just saying. And, you know, look for those things. We all know what honey is and where it comes from. We all know what maple syrup is. A lot of those kids are just so funny. Where you get syrup? From the store. I'm like, it comes from a tree. It came out of a tree. It's a very naturally occurring thing. I'm like, go watch a YouTube video on it if you can't watch it come directly out of the tree. But your honey, your maple syrup, molasses is kind of an old school naturally occurring sugar. It's good for, I know for most of us don't want to eat that like out of a jar, but it's good for baking. Your maple syrup, and then dates are one thing that a lot of people just kind of overlook, but dates are really, really good for like a sweet treat, and they're used to I know we've talked about like Laura bars before as a good packaged snack if you have to go that route, and they use chopped up dates in there to give it texture and sweetness. So dates are a great way to go. And then there's things like coconut sugar, which I have actually been able to find that locally. It kind of has a texture of similar to brown sugar, maybe a little more loose. But this I like this handout because it just kind of nutshells some of those more naturally occurring ones that we sometimes forget about. People with diabetes do need to still, you know, if any of them, they're like, I can't have honey. I can't have maple syrup. I know. For a lot of other people, those are the much more, natural, healthy way to go. People with diabetes, they have to be careful with everything, including fruit. Because when you're diabetic, anything that is, quote, sugar, your body doesn't really differentiate. So whether you've just had a banana or a cookie, you know, your blood sugar is going to go up no matter what. So they have to be much more careful. I know they can use the agave, which we've talked about before, comes from the tequila plant. And I know they can use that. It does not raise blood sugar. So they tend to get educated there on what is safe for them to use. But again, I teach college students and I have children who are growing by the minute. And, I'm just trying to help a lot of them go with the sugars that aren't going to mess up their bodies, their systems. But also we talk repeatedly on this show about, but not be miserable, you know, because most of us do like sweetness. And so,
sure.
You know, like tea, a lot of people, I love sweet tea. Sweet tea is full of just plain white sugar. So, you know, can you use honey instead? You know, and honey will still make it sweet. But it's going to be good for you instead of just bombarding your body with calories, which most of us don't need.
You know, my wife loves hot tea and honey.
Yes. You know, so good for you.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. That is great.
And these handouts Dr. Jim was talking about, we encourage you to log on to KVOE.com, click on the on-air tab. Top of the homepage, and right on top of the on-air tab, there's Dr. Jen. Click on that, and that will take you to the page. And we do have the handouts there available, so they're there for you to use some good information on sugars and sweeteners and ways to curb pesky sugar cravings.
Yep, that's what we need to talk about. So this was one of the really good images I was able to find. The website that it's from is at the bottom, so if anybody ever wants to go find further information. But yeah, the very first way or tip that they give is what I said about eat naturally sweet foods. Grab that banana, those grapes, again, that pineapple, whatever, and to help curb, because we crave sweets. That's just, our bodies are just kind of wired that way. I will tell you, when you can, quote, detox yourself from sugar, and that is what they call it, which is so sad, but when they say when you can, you know, again, wean yourself off of it and kind of detox from it, the cravings go down tremendously. And if there's anybody out there listening that's gone through that process, you know what I'm talking about. But you just don't. And I've mentioned on here, when I started doing the intermittent fasting, that was a huge kind of perk of that is I not only, first of all, it lessened my appetite a lot. So I didn't want to eat as much, but it also, I don't crave just the garbage food, you know, the way that I, you know, all of us typically do from growing up. So it really, really helped lessen that as well. But we all still sometimes want something sweet. But I have found that fruit really, really does the trick with that. So that's one of their tips. Eat more protein. I know we've talked repeatedly on this show about the benefits of protein, just in terms of keeping us healthy and controlling weight, building muscle, all of those things. But here's yet another selling point for protein is that it can help make us feel fuller longer. And so when you feel full, you don't tend to that drop in blood sugar where your body goes, I want more sugar. So, so protein and fiber, we've talked about that, help keep your blood sugar nice and steady. And when it's steady and not dropping, you're okay. And you're not going to crave that sugar. So protein should be our best friend if we're trying to lessen sugar and really just, maintain good health. It says eat regularly throughout the day. Avoid skipping meals. It says skip meals can result in intense hunger that leads to overeating and craving. So just, again, keep kind of steady Eddie, you know, keeping good foods in your body, keeping that blood sugar steady. That's all these kind of tie together. Yeah. So, and then some, again, that we've talked about. I really like this infographic because it ties together so much of the stuff that we've recommended over the last however many years. So when we've been doing this since 2008, you know, that we've been recommending forever. And drink water. It says sometimes our body confuses thirst with hunger. So to feel fuller and more satisfied, drink water whenever those cravings start, and you can oftentimes stave those off. And last month, our visit was about the infused water. You know, you can put some sugar in it, some fruit in it.
Woo!
It's Monday morning, people. No, do not put sugar in your water. Dr. T did not just say that. Okay. All right. Then avoid artificial sweeteners. That's your things like aspartame, which is what is in a lot of your diet pop drinks, but avoid those. It says studies reveal that artificially sweetened foods, and again, drinks too, may actually lead to higher calorie cravings later on. So although they may seem like a good fix to your sugar craving, they actually lead to more intense cravings later, which is not what we want. And again, I've said from the get-go, those artificial sweeteners just make a lot of those of us in the health and nutrition field just very, very nervous because we don't really fully know the long-term effects of anything artificial, you know, on the human body. So, and then a couple more. It says, break the habit slowly. I joked about detox a minute ago, but it's just like with alcohol or anything else. If you try to go cold turkey, your body is usually going to scream at you and go, what are you doing? Because it's so used to getting kind of that hit when it wants it. And so just like with anything else, try to break it slowly, decrease your intake slowly, substitute things like the fruit, and just start to do that. And then you'll find that it gets easier as you go. But going cold turkey doesn't usually end up working well for most people. And then kind of along with that, that last one, it says keep sugary foods.
I love this.
Keep foods away. Okay, so this study, I'm like, it says a study found that people ate twice as many Hershey's Kisses when they're in a clear container than when they're in an opaque one, like that you can't
see. Are you serious?
Yes. And they've actually redone that study. And not just with the candy containers, I get that.
Yeah.
It's like if you don't see what's in the container and maybe you forget what's in there, okay, yeah. I mean, I probably could have told you without you doing the study that that was going to happen. But even keeping things like crackers and chips, if you do, my recommendation is not to buy them at all. But if you do, is keep them put away, not like out where you are going to see them, because then the minute you see that box or that bag or whatever, oh, I'm gonna go have that. So try to keep them out of sight, out of mind. But again, the better recommendation, and my college students, they are so funny because I teach about these strategies and recommend them in class. And they're like, yeah, I found when I quit buying it and having it in my apartment, I stopped eating it. I was like, you don't say.
Really?
It's amazing how
Write that down. But,
yeah. And most of them are like, well, yeah, I'm not going to just make a special trip out to go buy it. And if I do crave it, I'm like, good, because some people do, but for a lot of us, it's a matter of convenience. And if we just, when we're at the store, if we just choose not to buy those things and don't have them, you know, in our living space, then we'll go to the healthier option that maybe we do have on hand. So that's the most simplistic recommendation that I can give people.
Well, and also on your handout, mm-hmm. where do these you know, sugars and sweeteners hide?
Yeah.
Boy, there's,
you
know, one can of soda is going to hook you up with a lot of sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, and I always say it doesn't hide in soda. It shimmies and shakes in front of you like, come on, baby.
It quakes, doesn't it?
Seriously, pop is just people's big, big struggle. And I always joke, if I had a magic wand and could just get rid of one thing off the face of the earth, it might be that.
That'll be it.
Because it just trips people up so bad with the sugar. And so, yeah, that's the big one. Snacks and sweets, like your packaged cookies and all those things. And then it does mention grains, like cereals, breads, granola bars, stuff that people, the breakfast cereals, that's a huge one. That's literally what most breakfast cereals are, sugar, followed by maybe flour and salt. But so those kind of grain type products, it does hide in there. And then it mentions prepared dishes where we just add sugar or sugar type ingredients into prepared dishes. It does mention dairy. We covered yogurt a few months ago, I think, and you got to be careful. You got to read the label because some of those have a lot of added sugar, and it's to kind of offset the tartness, but look for those ones with lower sugar. And like I said, put your berries in there to get that fiber, fiber and that natural sweetness in there. So that's one. And then, yes, that little sliver on the graph of condiments and dressings, because it isn't just, I mentioned ketchup and barbecue sauce, but it's also your salad dressings as well. They put all sorts of sweeteners in there.
I'm afraid to ask how much sweetener is in ranch dressing. Even though you wouldn't think so. That kind of makes you wonder how much sugar is in something like that.
Yeah, and it's so popular. I don't know. I would have to go look at it.
Well, it's not only sugar, but I'm on a low sodium thing now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Salt is everywhere,
It is everywhere. And then just to throw in, speaking of trifectas today, awesome, awesome trifectas. Your dressing, your salad dressings in a bottle are also full of preservatives. If you've ever opened a bottle and then left it in your fridge, it will stay good for, I say good, in a bad way, it will stay good for a long time. And that's not a good thing. You know, they always say, there's an expression, food that can go bad is good for you. Food okay. that stays good forever is bad. Tends to be bad for you. Now, the exception to that is honey.
Honey yeah,
stays
yeah.
good forever, but it's natural. So, but with so many of these man-made products, that's just kind of a good rule of thumb. But yes, salad dressings, like make your own. Just get some basic ingredients and make your own. It doesn't take much time or effort at all. So,
well, Dr. Jen, on average, how much sugar do we Americans consume?
Oh, I saw that. Yes. Oh, yeah. Gosh, 17 teaspoons of added sugars yeah. each day. So 17 teaspoons. And
oh
just
God.
To put this, I know, just to put this in perspective, in that green little circle, this is one that when I go over in the classroom, my college students, their eyes just kind of bug out. But so we don't measure a lot of stuff here in the U.S. using grams. Like, that isn't how most of us
That's
on
metric.
A day.
Can we use that?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but on a food label, when you look at the nutrients and stuff, they measure in grams. And so, the thing is like you pick up a can of pop or a bottle of pop and it says, let's say it says 40 grams of sugar. Like a lot of people, they don't know really. They have yeah. no comprehension. What's a gram? I don't
yeah.
know. And so I always say we have to teach people that conversion math because 4 grams is a teaspoon of sugar. And so if that has 40 grams, that can or pop has 10 teaspoons. And most of us can picture a major, you know,
yeah.
we do use those when we bake and
sure.
even just eating something, you know, we use a little teaspoon to eat off of. So, yeah, picture 10 of those in that and can. And that's just.
One can.
Yeah.
yeah
that's crazy. And 40 is a very, and that's actually between 40 and 50 is what is common in your typical can or bottle of soft drinks. So I'm not like exaggerating with that number. That is very, very normal. And then we wonder why we have the epidemics that we do in this country. So with pop around and it does. It just trips up a lot of people with their health.
Yeah, that is a ton right there. And so I think it mentions how much we should be, what your sugar intake should be.
Yeah, it says try to limit added sugars to less than 10% of your daily calories.
Okay.
And, you know, most of us daily calories is somewhere at or below 2,000, you know, depending on how active we are and if we're growing and all of that. But so it's giving a percentage of those, so like less than 200 calories of what you take in for the day, you know, should come from those added sugars. Problem is, most of us hate math, and we hate looking, you know, trying to figure that out and looking at things. But which is why I say go back to the simplistic thing. And if all your sugars for the day, or maybe all but one, you know, came from natural sources like fruit, like honey, you're probably doing okay. Now you can get too much. Oh, I hate to even go here. You can technically get too much. To talk to someone with diabetes, too much natural sugar. But I'm not seeing a lot of people out there overdosing on, oh, I just got too much fruit today,
yeah,
you know.
Too much fruit.
Oh, gosh, those plums and grapes really, you know. It just doesn't. I'm not real, real worried about that. Much more worried about those added sugars coming from those processed foods.
Yeah, I don't think I have ever heard anyone in conversation say to me, I just came back from the doctor. He told me to cut back on my fruit intake.
Yes. Yeah. Again, the only exception for that might be with diabetes, where they're told you have
yeah.
to be very careful with those, something like a banana, which it is. It's very, that's why athletes, you know, athletes love bananas and oranges because it gives them a quick, good boost of natural sugars. But yeah, with diabetes, with your blood sugar, it doesn't know the difference. It just knows, whoop, we just went up. So they do have to be careful and sometimes watch their sources. We've talked before, berries are their best bet because the fiber in berries really helps kind of, and they're just naturally lower in sugar. So those are a safer option for a lot of people who are having to be careful with that. But for most of us, have away at the sugar. Gosh, that's the second time I've done that. Have away at the fruit for your sugar. I tell you what, I haven't had coffee yet. And speaking of brain screaming at you, my brain's like, hello? Hello, where's that coffee? But no, again, most people could really, really benefit from getting more fruit and more of their sugar from fruit into their daily diet.
You know, I'm going to go retro here. Just speaking of sugar, I hearken back to the days as a youth and kids making your Kool-Aid. You've got the Kool-Aid packets, but then you pour the sugar in cups.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Total cups.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's like, that is a ton of sugar.
Yes.
And a lot of people, the stated recipe, that wasn't enough sugar.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't the case in our house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, another half cup? Yep.
Yep.
Stir that up. It's all granulated. You got the sugar literally falling out of solution as you're pouring it. And it's like right down in the bottom, you've got like about an inch and a half of sludge.
Oh, yes.
That's the way it should be.
The Kool-Aid sludge. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
I will tell you this, and not if my college students or my children were here, they would roll their eyes. But, you know, we did. We lived off of that, especially in the summertime. But in our defense, we also, you know, I remember coming inside drinking that. But then we went outside to play.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we ran around like maniacs all day. And then we went to the pool and we swam. And, you know, and that does help. And so for people, and joking before about my athletes will sometimes just down anything that has sugar, especially my runners, and they're skinny, you know.
They are.
But their body is using that as an immediate source of fuel and they're burning it off immediately. It's not going to have time to convert to fat because, you know, we weren't laying around. We were not allowed by our parents to lay around, and which was a good thing. But nowadays, with all the gaming and just the, and there's just a lot of societal reasons that play into that. You know, you drink something like Kool-Aid or the pop or whatever, and then you just sit around. It leads to so many health problems.
Yeah, that's the problem,
so
right there. Yeah.
I hate to be like, it's a different time. It was a different. You know, you said hearken. That's like, oh, I love that word. Hearkening back to the days of old.
We're going to the days of yesteryear.
Yesteryear. Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, we do sound old, but. But it was such a better time, but says everyone for their past. But no, it's that really is with sugar. That's one of the main issues is we are taking in more than we burn off with our activity, especially immediately after we consume it. And so that's the
makes
for anyone sitting out
there
going, well, it wouldn't be a problem if you went and no, it probably wouldn't. But a lot of us aren't doing physical labor or the playing, you know, the recreational active activities. And if we are, it doesn't tend to cause us problems.
And you brought in some honey straws.
Tell us about this,
Dr. Jen.
Well, we have given out these, and I brought in the wildflower, honey straws for you guys to try. We have given those out at the health fair, the one that the Emporia Community Foundation has sponsored all these years, and my students get to, it's so fun, we get to let people try stuff, you know, like here, and people have gone crazy over those. So we did provide one additional handout, I won't say a lot about it, but just an additional one on the benefits of honey. And it's nice because depending on the source of nectar, it does have different flavors. Most people have heard of like buckwheat honey, you know, and then there's eucalyptus honey, and I brought you wildflower honey, and so that's just kind of a fun alternative. And again, honey, it's an antiseptic. It's literally been used since the dawn of mankind for different things, self-care and nutrition. And so just don't want people to forget about that. But yeah, those are what we have given out at the health fair. And people do, they try it and they're like, no, this is something that I wouldn't mind using in my tea. And the nice thing is that that's in a little straw form. So you could stir it into your drink or a squirt. squirt it out of there onto your toast or your cereal or whatever. So I think we've got quite a few people in the community hooked on those. And it's just – it's such a good feeling for me and my students to see people kind of light up when they're like, this is healthy. And I like it. And, you know, you're not going to make me miserable with this. And we talk about that on here all the time. People want to be healthy, but they don't want to be miserable. And so anytime we can find something that has some appeal that is good for them, we want them to be able to try it and then hopefully make that a part of their daily routine.
My wife found, like, the honey stirrers over at Marshall's. They have, like, a segment of them. I think they have, like, four or five different flavors, maybe more than that. So that would be a place, too, if you want. And maybe not, like, a honey stick like you brought in, but, like, a honey stirrer. Stir that has kind of the same effect, and I've tried those before, and they work really well in the hot tea.
And they kind of disintegrate. Is that what they do?
Yes,
they kind of, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they just kind of stir away, and then you kind of get the gradual flavor buildup as you let the tea steep itself.
Nice.
It's very good.
Nice. All right, great topic once again. Thank you, Dr. Jen. Yeah,
you are welcome.
Sweet stuff. And and we'll have this morning's program on KVOE.com on our audio vault. But again, just to hop on the on-air segment, the on-air tab, top of the homepage, there'll be a drop-down menu, and Dr. Jen is right at the top of the drop-down. And all today's handouts and past handouts are there for you to observe and use. At your own pace. So, Dr. Jen, always a pleasure.
Yes, thank you so much. You guys, stay cool.
Stay cool, stay out of the wind, stay cool.
Yep.
Dr. Jennifer Thomas, Health and Human Performance Professor, ESU, with us here this morning on KVOE Live and Local. It's 8:51.
Experience the thrill of the fairway like never before at the Emporia Recreation Center's Indoor Golf Simulator. With a moving swing plate, high-speed camera sensors, and auto tee and ball retrieval, it is truly state-of-the-art.